Good morning. Extend a warm welcome to you. Visitors, friends, people that are from other churches. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. You know what? I was had a real revelation during the night. I was thirsty. Was it thirsty? Yeah, thirsty evening. Our friend Joya. Where is Joya anyway? Joya, that's over from the States. We went out for a meal. And myself, Joy, and Sharon, and I dropped. It was mayhem trying to get into town. It was about 8 o'clock or something. Mayhem traffic trying to get into town. And we gets down to Paramount Street, little Italian place. I dropped the two girls off, and I go and find a parking space. So I got back in there in 20 or an hour and 30 minutes later. The traffic was incredible. I tried to be smart. I know little laneways where there's traffic spaces or car park that no one knows, I thought. And but all of a sudden, I was just caught in traffic, and I ended up around by Grafton Street. You know, like the back of Grafton Street and all that. It was absolutely mayhem. But you know what? In just going real slow, I realized what a tremendous city we have. And what tremendous people live in our city. I was just gobsmacked at the amount of little restaurants and cafes. And I was going that slow, I was able to read the menus. Believe me. That's how we were not moving. I'm like, $8.95 for bangers and mash in the Metro Bar. I'm bringing Sharon there. I just realised, it was a bloke sitting there, is it the Hardy Lemon pub or something? You know, and there's a fella sitting there reading the Irish Independent. And it was a beautiful evening in December. He was sitting outside. And he was just so Irish looking. And it was just so wonderful. And so then I ended up parking the car down at St. Patrick's Cathedral. After all that, comes back up to Parliament Street. I'm walking up. There's a pub. I looked in the window. And it was a real touristy pub. But they had on each table. I was blown away by this. I had on each table like their own things. What would you call them? Pumps. So you could sit there with your own pint of beer or whatever and pull your own points and clock up on a little digital thing. I'm like, what's this city coming to? You're all looking for the name of it now, aren't you? No, but I never seen it before. I've been in other countries in the world. I've never seen that and as trendy and as innovative as this before. And I get into the girls and says, you know what? We have a great city. We have a tremendous city. And this church loves this city. This church wants to go into our city and celebrate what's good. We give out about everything that's bad. We give out. And I came around, you know, and this is what I thought about. And we've all been hit with budgets. And we've all been hit with things. And I'm not political and I don't have any affiliation to anything like this. But I want to tell you guys, you know what I thought? Stop giving out about our city now. Bless it. Pray for the government. Pray for those who are in this. I met a homeless man named Reggie that I was out with the Stew Crew a couple of weeks ago. 21 years on the street. He chooses to live on the street. And he gets up, you know what he says? Pastor, are you praying for our government? I felt that size. He says, no, but I give out about them. And I thought, Lord, I'm never going to give out again. Can I say, church, let's be different. Let's be different. You as a Christian, you as from the tribe of liberty, let's be different. When someone slags off the government, say, bless them. They need wisdom. They need input. They need righteousness to rule and reign in that place. That we're not just corrupt because we are supposed to be citizens of another kingdom. We're supposed to be, we do not belong to this world. We're in the world, but we don't belong to it. And I tell you, what it would be like when everyone's giving out and you go, you know what? You know what? I know what it's like to lead my family. And it takes a lot to lead a family. What must it be like to lead the government? Bless them. Pray for them. You will be like an alien. You are supposed to be an alien to this world. That's what the Bible says. Wouldn't that be cool? Say yes, Noah. All right, five of us. Right, five of us are going to be different. Okay, just think about it, amen? Maybe I'm stretching too far. Father, I thank you for this great city that we live in. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that your spirit would sweep every street, every home, every community, Father. And give us a glimpse, Lord, even in our minds right now, what Dublin would be like when Jesus comes to town. Give us a glimpse, Lord. Give us vision of what the prisons would be like when Jesus visits the prisons, the mental hospitals, the old folks' homes. the orphanages, Lord God, the religious, Lord, the broken, the politicians, the community people, oh God, the social system, Lord. Give us a glimpse of what this city would be like, Lord. And we say, come on, Lord Jesus. Come visit Dublin, Lord. Let it be like a city on a hill, oh God. Amen. 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 We are going to have our second message in the series of Christmas encounters, when God came and encountered people in the lead up to when it was going to be the birth of a son, Jesus. And last week we looked at Luke chapter 1. We talked about when the angels came to Zechariah and the angel came to Mary and told them that the activity of heaven was after being unleashed in such incredible manner, because the greatest event that was ever going to hit mankind was coming upon us, that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming to earth. God in skin was coming to earth. And all of the prophecies, all of the prophecies that were given hundreds of years prior, was now coming to pass. The miracles of God was now being so realized amongst the people of Jerusalem and of Israel, that the virgin was now found with baby. Incredible miracles, incredible deals that were going on. Heaven was being released on earth. God's earth-shattering, heaven-revealing event was about to take place. And we're looking at the activities when God encountered ordinary people to bring to pass the possibility of God coming to earth. And the reason why I want to speak up the Christmas morning about all these things is to raise our expectation that God wants to encounter you and encounter me. That God is not holding back in any way. He wants to encounter ordinary people. And I want us to look at this morning about in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. That God was again releasing heaven to touch earth. That the activities of heaven was going to be made known to mankind. That God was going to send the Savior to the world. Someone wrote before, they said, if man's greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But man's greatest need was for forgiveness. So God sent the Savior. That our greatest need wasn't all the things that has been presented and does be presented to us week in and week out. Mankind's, Dublin's greatest need is for a Savior. Amen. Martin Luther says that the mystery of the humanity of Jesus, that he sunk himself into flesh, is beyond all human understanding. So if you struggle with God becoming man, it's okay. Just put that aside for a few minutes. Martin Luther said, it's beyond man's understanding that God would be sunk down into a human, into flesh, and make himself known. Hey, get this story. It's in Luke chapter 2. Absolutely incredible. Now it says they were in the same country after Christ was being born. It says, let me go back to just beginning of 2, yeah? Chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree was set, we went out from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be, registered. This census first took place while this guy was governing Syria. So all went to register, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to deliver the baby. She brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them back into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see these things that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known, the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and was told to them. Get this incredible scene. Shepherds, ordinary people. You could not get more ordinary than the shepherd in his day. In fact, the shepherd was one of the lowly jobs that you could get. They weren't people in high finance. They were people that were living in fields watching sheep. In fact, even to the religious of the day, that they were unclean ceremonially, that they couldn't just come into the temple. They were on the outside of everything because of the job of working. And these unceremonially unclean people, these people that were on the lowest ladder of the employment system, God sends his angels to appear to them. Ordinary people. That God says, "Look, I want angel you to go." And I've read this book before, and it was fictional type of thing. But I opened my eyes to the possibilities of what happens in the heavenly realms. And it told a story, this story, when God sent the angel Gabriel to declare the good news that the Son of God was being born in a manger in Bethlehem. And it says in the movie and in the book, and like I was playing it through my mind as if it was a movie, and so I could see it. So I hope you could see some of it with me. That the angel was sent; he left the presence of God and went. And I don't know whether they fly or whatever, but he gets to his destination just on the outside of air realm, because this realm we live in, earth, is not the only realm. That there's another realm, and another realm where God is. And there's a realm that the Bible teaches called the heavenlies. And that place is where angels are. And that place is where the agents of the devil operate. And there's this sometimes battle that goes on just for a message to get through, because we're told it's in other places. So it says the angel Gabriel is sent. He's confronted possibly by an enemy trying to cut him off. The rest of the angels come and take on the enemy. The warring angels come and take on the enemy. Gabriel gets through with the message. He takes out a sword, the book says. He slices into air realm. And it's like the realms open, and earth and heaven it can be seen into one place. And the angel, and these poor shepherds, ordinary people, the unceremonial, unclean people, sitting there minding their sheep, and all of a sudden heaven opens. Yeah, well. What was in the tea? Look at this. And the angel cries out to them. He calls out to them that the Son of God is going to be born. He declares good tidings, this good news for all mankind. Not just for the Pharisees or the religious, not just for the high educated, not just for the high finances, not just for the ones in the upper caste of their society, but for all mankind. And then when he got that out, when he said that was going to happen, next minute, thousands of more angels just stick their head out. Can you imagine? I am like, incredible. Get this, there's sin there. It's bad enough to terrify an angel. And then he says that the Son of God is going to be born. And they can maybe just gather there in. Next minute it says, a multitude of angels stick their head out and they start singing, glory to God in the highest. Amazing. God sent in heaven to appear to the ordinary. Why was it not the religious? Why was it not the Pharisees of the day? Why was it not the highly educated? Why was it not the synagogue people? Why was it not those up on the higher ladders of success? Why was it not the king of its day? Why was it not the governor of his day? What was being communicated to these shepherds? Ordinary people from ordinary backgrounds. What was being communicated from God to earth through this? He was saying, you know what? I appear to ordinary people, you know why? Because ordinary people matter to me. He says, I appear to all kinds of people because, you know what? People matter to me. And God was communicating, not only to these shepherds, but also to everyone else that would read this, that you matter to God. Whether you're up on the higher ladders of success or at the bottom of the ladder, you matter to God. Jesus gathered all the people around him on the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about the lilies. He talks about the fields and says that God clothes, my Father clothes all them with lilies. And even Solomon in all of his splendor is not as glorious as these fields. He says, look at the sparrows. Consider the sparrows, he says. They don't worry about food. You don't see them in going to doctors, and you don't see them going for like psychiatrists, and you don't see sparrows queuing up outside counselor's office. You don't see them. They don't care. Did you ever see a depressed sparrow? They're just with it. Do you ever see them? They bounce around my tree. It's like there's no tomorrow. He says, consider them. He says, how much more do you matter to God than all the sparrows in the world? He was saying to them all, ordinary people all sitting around, you matter to my Father. You matter to the Father. Your circumstance, your life matters to God the Father. He cares about you. Don't we need to hear that? That we matter to God. Don't you need to hear that this morning? You matter to God. When we go over to Belarus on the 29th, a group from this church, when we go over to Belarus to sit with the orphans, isn't that a message they need to hear? They're probably not going to get adopted by any families. You know what's on their Christmas list? I'd love a mammy for that's my dream. That's what they say. I'd love a daddy. Some of them are never going to get a daddy out of this world. But don't they need to hear that the Father in heaven, you matter. Doesn't the lonely woman over this Christmas need to hear from us? You matter to God. That you that are feeling low today, don't you need to hear? You matter to God. Ordinary people, why are we doing the great big giveaway? We're saying to our community, you matter to God. We're saying to the woman that hasn't got enough food for her on her table, you matter. When you come here on Wednesday night and Monday to pack those hampers, you know what you're saying? You matter to God. When you put your tin of beans into that basket downstairs, you're saying you matter. That when people come in to get their haircuts off the barbers and hairdressers that's coming, you know what you're saying with every snip? You matter. You matter to God. The money that you've given for the great big giveaway, you're saying you matter. You matter to God. God cares about who you are. I was at a wedding yesterday up in Donegal. Joanna got married, for those who know young Joanna. And it was wonderful, wonderful, incredible privilege to officiate her wedding. And we were sitting around talking, and I know lots of people in her church up north, and they always say, what's going on for you? I love to brag about you. I want to tell you this. They couldn't shut me up. Just press the button. Yeah. You want to see this. I was telling your Sasa your story. You want to see this. You want to see what's happening. I was like, and they're like sitting there. She says, Aunt Nels, when I tell you about the great big giveaway.
Just in case he wants to give me a load of potatoes or something. Do you know what? This is what I picked up. The churches are worried about what the choir is going to be like at Christmas. People, churches are worried about what the Christmas tree is going to look like in their church building. But you know what you guys are doing? Putting peas and beans in a box to say to this community, you matter. And I want to tell you, I know, and there's nothing wrong with, we have a Christmas tree downstairs, don't get me wrong. But you know, I keep a million Christmas trees, but give me one tin of beans to put on a woman's table. Because I want us to say, I don't care about Christmas trees, honey, you matter. And because the church says you matter to God. Isn't that incredible? So by God appearing to these ordinary people, he was saying to them, you matter. We've all had pangs of rejection. We've all felt the pains of rejection one way or another. But if you're thinking no one cares, I don't matter to anyone, I want to tell you you're wrong. That God appeared to these, sent his angels to these people to say to you and I, ordinary folk, that God cares and you matter to God. Amen. As a result of the encounter with the shepherds, they were also, God also was saying to them that their prayers had been answered. Because it's incredible that these shepherds believed in the Messiah. Okay, they weren't in the religious environment because they were out living in fields, minding sheep, and they were ceremonially unclean. So it was a big ordeal just to get ceremonially clean. But they believed. All God's chosen people believed in the Messiah. They were raised all through their Jewish life and upbringing that the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. They prayed over and over again because everything that the Messiah was told that was going to come was going to be this military Messiah, was going to deliver them from the hands of Rome, was going to break the bondage of and the tyranny that they lived under, that they were going to come out of poverty. This Messiah was going to come and establish his throne. Forever and ever. And he's going to be the best of them all. So they prayed over and over again as little Jewish kids. Let the Messiah come. Let the Messiah come. Let this be the time that the Messiah comes. Hundreds of years go by. Let the Messiah come. I can imagine that many give up praying. Let the Messiah come. But this night, the angels cut open the earth's realm, sticks their head in, and then the multitude jumped in. It was nearly like this. The angel says, the Messiah is coming. Your prayers have been answered. And then the multitude of angels says, he's dead, right? He is coming. That's the way I see it. The Messiah is coming. Does God keep his promises? Yeah. Have you felt like giving up on prayer and something you're praying for? The Messiah is coming. The answer is on his way. The angels appeared to these guys to say that your prayers have been answered. What was God communicating by revealing himself to ordinary people? One, that he cares and that you matter. And secondly, your prayers have been answered. Have you felt like giving up praying? Have you felt like giving up believing for something? With this announcement, can I encourage you? Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep expecting. Keep expecting the Messiah to come through. When they said the Messiah is coming, what would have rushed through their mind was that for unto us a child has been born. Unto us a son has been given. And unto us this son will carry the government upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When they said the Messiah is coming, that Christ the Lord is going to be, it wasn't just a prophet being born, it was Christ the Lord, the angel says. And they would have heard him, that this son, this is the son that's been given. He's going to be called, the government will be on his shoulders. He is going to be powerful, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. When they heard the word Messiah, they would have heard him, the baby that has been born is the Savior of the world. When they heard about the Messiah being born, the Redeemer is coming. When they heard that the Messiah was come, they heard reconciliation back to God. When they heard the baby, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the Lord is being born, they heard that the Redeemer of mankind is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. not just coming to answer your prayer, but I want to tell you, he's coming back. And the same angel that told them, Gabriel, that the baby was being born, it's the same angel that's going to blow a trumpet according to Thessalonians in the Bible. And he's going to blow a trump. And the sky is going to split open, the eastern sky. And the Messiah is going to come. And this time not as a baby in a manger, but as a hero on a horse. And he's going to whip us all home with him to those who believe. Make sure you believe. I remember I shared with a young fella in the flats, telling them that one day Jesus was coming back on a horse because I knew he loved horses. You have to connect. Jesus has horses, I said. And when he comes back, he's coming back on a horse. You know what he says to me? I'm going to be on the back of it with him. Truth. I says, yeah, but you have to believe. I don't know what side he's going to be on now. This encounter communicates that your prayers are answered. And I hope that you're mature enough in this sense that God is not just some machine that you just put in your prayer and you think, now you have to answer. That's baby Christianity. God will answer with the right answer at the right time in the right place. Because he's God. I remember my friend Willie, when he first became a Christian, he'd open his Bible and go, give me a bike, and he'd close it. That's what he used to do. Willie O'Brien, give me a bike. He's about a week a Christian. As a result of the shepherds encountering God and the angels, they told people about the story of Jesus and the angels appearing. Listen to what it says. The shepherds, there was a suddenly. And they made widely known what was being told to them about the child. That they went around absolutely everywhere telling everybody about what the angels had said to them. The postman comes to deliver with the Jerusalem on post or something like that. And they go, you wouldn't believe what happened during the night. The sky was split open. Angels came, told us about this baby. We went to the manger. They were all there. The kings were there worshiping this king. There was a star over it. Everybody was bound down to this babe. The Messiah is here. You go to the butchers, you wouldn't believe what happened to me during the night. You go down to the shops. The nurses were being told, the policemen were being told, the businessmen were being told, the outcast, the broken, the lame were being told, the Messiah is coming. They went around everywhere and told their story. Guys, can I tell you, if Jesus has impacted you, look for the opportunities to tell your story. Don't go all religious on them. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. And notice it says, everyone that heard was amazed. People are waiting to hear your and my story. People are waiting. It says everyone they told stood back and were amazed. Your story matters to someone else in this city. Your story matters. The story of hope that's in your life. The story of miracles. The story of a future that you've been given. The story of the new empowerment that you've felt. The story of peace and contentment that's in your life. People need to hear and are waiting to hear your story. They're queuing up to hear your story. You just have to seize the opportunity when it comes along. Get this. I read this somewhere. A salesman went to a foreign country, a shoe salesman. He was there 2 weeks and he wrote back to his company a letter saying, please bring me home. Nobody over here wears shoes. They sent out a second salesman a couple of weeks later. He sends back a letter. Please send me all the shoes you can because no one over here wears shoes. He's seen an opportunity for everyone to have shoes, to sell all the shoes because no one's wearing them. Can I tell you, seize your opportunity. Even over this Christmas, seize the opportunity. Not big, in your face, mad looking yoke. Just your story. Just your story. Just tell them what happened in your life. And the angel said this, and I'm finishing up. The angel says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. He was saying today is when the world is going to encounter the Savior. Today, now, go into the city. It's not next year. It's not just written in prophets from, and it's going to happen in thousands of years' time. He's saying today, the immediate, look to God now for the immediate. Look to God for the encounter that He has for you and I. Today, look and let faith arise in your heart. Today, God will answer. Today, I will encounter God. Today, I will know peace. Today, I will know salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll do something for God next month, next year. Make a declaration. No, today. Today, the angel says, today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior will be born. What do you need today? What do you need God to do today? What do you need God to come true for today? He says, today, don't put it off. Don't believe it for next year. Believe it for today. If you get it next year, so be it. But believe it for today. Believe what you need. Get onto the ground of what Mary was on. I'm on the ground of nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. I pray for sickness, and I see sickness all the time right there in front of me in my own home. But I still believe today for a miracle of healing. I'm still standing on the ground, and that's the ground that we're calling. Expect God to answer you today. You know why? You matter to God. You know why? He answers prayer. You know why? God seizes every opportunity to reveal Himself to you and I.